All right, let me go over a few things before I start making the importation. I want all the MVBs, every person who's not going to be present for importation, but tell their MVB why every time. So all the absentees I heard, I want them checked on, but from now on, all the LTMA members, if you're not able to be on the importation call, your MVBs must be notified. So I'm telling the MVBs now to go ahead on and get that to their group, that their group may know. I don't want nobody unaccountable for them. Just calling and they say, not there, not there. We need to know why. Pastor Colin, give that man a call. You've been texting who's not responsive. We want to know what the deal. You can't get them by text. I want you to call them, because we want to know who we're responsible for. Now, there's no reason for a full-time minister or full-time pastor not to be on the line. I mean, there's no excuse for that. They're full-time, they don't have a job, they need to be on the line. If not, they're not real interested in the LTMA. In answering, when the call is, when the MC call you, name, all I want is presence, because I get all these accolades going on the finishing app we have. Stay on top of it. People come up, put them little hands on there, little hearts on there, and say some little stuff. When your name is called, all I want you to do say is presence. That's it. So we'll keep the thing in divine alignment. And we have to have a protocol, and that's the protocol. Your name is called, present. That's all you need to say. Pastor Scott Sanders had been chosen to be an MVB. I'm going to do a ceremony later at the right time. We can do it at Rama International Ministry. His wife's name, Sarah. They have both proven themselves. And I've talked to him personally, nonchalantly. Just walk up to him, talk to his bishop first, his father, and got permission. And so now we have 12 MVBs, and we'll further introduce him in the time to come.
Now, amen.
Amen. Who is that?
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Right, right. All right, now, the importation today is going to be on these bases. Promoting God's agenda at all times. Putting your ministry into supernatural rest. Now, I impart based on revelation, anointing, and experiences. Okay, so I've experienced these things. I'm going to say them to you again because I'm going to go through the list, then I'm going to come back up. Promoting God's agenda at all times, very important, and I have a very powerful scripture to back that up. Putting your ministry into supernatural rest. That's based on the fact that no man is your source, that God is your source. You got to get in that position where no man is your source, no group is your source, God is your source, and you'll enter into a supernatural rest knowing that God will provide for you. Now, let me go down the list. What we're going to deal with, six or seven things I want to give you. Number one, remembering the illness, I-S-N-E-S-S, of God. God is. That's one of the things that have helped me over the years. I'm not going to talk on it right now because I'm going down the list. But the illness of God. I got a scripture I want to show you on that. The second thing is keeping the power of the cross in the center of your life and ministry. Keeping the power of the cross. And I have scripture to back that up. In the center of your life and ministry. Because now we're talking about miracles, signs, and wonders. We want to move into the phase of ministry that Jesus left for us to move into fully. Positioning your faith continuously. Position your faith continuously in holiness and mystery. in holiness and mystery. Number four, keeping the strongholds pulled down in your soul. Keeping the strongholds on a daily basis pulled down in your soul. Number five, actually put it on the whole armor of God, doing by meditation. So it's putting the whole armor of God on by meditation, part by part. Number six, always prevailing by and pressing into resurrection power. These are some of the things that I have, for lack of a better word, processed or programmed in my ministry all these years. And then always prevailing by and pressing through resurrection power. We'll get to that. And then I put, let me impart and impress you with the secret to your assignment. I hope I can get to all of them. I've got a clock on me. Hope I can get to all of them. And then knowing your I am position by knowing the threefold I amness of Jesus is available to you at all times and in every situation. Now, I might put that one at the beginning somewhere. But let's see about always not promoting your agenda, always promoting God's agenda, always keep him on top. The first scripture, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Recognize that he's your strength. Nothing elementary about these scriptures. That's the problem. Too complicated. These are the scriptures who keep you in firm position. Let's look at a scripture, John 4:24. So important. Right here, right now. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, when you remember the illness of God, you have to remember that God is a spirit. And that if you're going to function properly in your calling, you're going to have a spiritual attitude, spiritual gratitude, knowing how to yield to the spirit, knowing how to yield to the anointing at all times, no formality, no functioning without the spirit. You know, it's not by might, nor by power, but it's by my spirit. Jesus revealed the aspect of anointing in Luke 4:18. He talks about his anointing for his whole ministry. Acts 10:38 talks about the anointing and power. In 1 John 2:27, you're dealing with the anointing. 1 John 2:20, you're dealing with an unction. So you want to make sure that your contact and your relationship is always in the illness of God, illness of God. And the illness of God is in the realm of the spirit. So two words here. When you remember the illness of God, you remember John 4:24 is a spiritual illness. And then I heard this, and it's not too deep, but yet to me, it's real functionable. It's a spiritual illness, or you're going to suffer from illness in ministry. Your ministry is going to be sick. If your ministry is not functioning in the spirit, it is functioning by philosophy or some principle or something you can copy off somebody else, don't have it in your spirit, it's not going to be what it should be. And then in remembering the illness of God, I just wrote down Psalm 23:1. Source. That God is your source. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You have to keep that impartation. If you're going to have that agenda, if you're going to have that supernatural rest, those two things, being in the spirit and recognize that God is your source. So now, when God is your source, by recognizing in the spirit, you know that you're going to have manifestation. You're going to have demonstration. That's the way God manifests himself to us. Secondly, now remember the illness of God, I-S-N-E-S-S. I don't care if it's not a word. The illness of God, illness of God. John 4:24, make sure you stay in the spirit. And Psalm 23:1, make sure that you do not worry or be anxious or be fearful. Always remember that God called you, and God always take care of what he called and who he called. Number two, now this is one that's very important, keeping the power of the cross in the center of your life and ministry. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1. 1 Corinthians 1, very important here. First Corinthians 1:29. I want to read this. This is so powerful. Here it is. Now, we're keeping the power of the cross in the center of your life and ministry, because there's no doubt about it. You being connected with LTMA and your torch is being lit. If you participate and you function properly, there are going to be a lot of promotion. There are going to be a lot of places you're going to go to average minister has never been. That's why God had you connected. And that's why we have to keep the power of the cross in the center of your life and ministry, because you're going to see a lot of things. You're going to experience a lot of things. And in saying that, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians give us a good insight. I'm going to deal with four words real strongly here on this part number two, by the power of the cross and keeping in the center of your life and ministry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. Very important. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then verse 31 says, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now notice verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Notice verse 31, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, the fourth thing that I want to point out to you that I meditate on a daily basis now to make sure, because so many things happening so fast, the four things is, wisdom, found in the 30th verse. Wisdom, if you're going to manifest the power of the cross, you're going to have God's wisdom. You're going to have to understand righteousness. You're going to have to understand on a daily basis sanctification. And you're going to have to keep the blood, redemption, always before you. Those things are very important. They will keep you from straying from one side to the other. They'll keep you right in the middle of your assignment. Keeping the power of the cross. So the power of the cross is the cross wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, it's so important because when you talk about sanctification, it's on a daily basis. Righteousness is a position he has put us in. But sanctification, according to 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, you really need God to help you. And then I like 1 Corinthians 5, you read it, it gives you a list of things, pray without ceasing, quench not the Holy Spirit. Those things you have to keep in position all the time. I impart this to you. I impart that wisdom, that righteousness, that sanctification, that redemption to you from apostolic stance of the government of our ministry have to be based on those things. Number three, positioning your faith continuously in holiness and in mysteries. That's so important because miracles, signs, and wonders need to function in our ministry. But holiness and the mysteries of spiritual things, the mysteries of the kingdom, or the mystery of the way God operates. And the two scriptures there is Jude 20. You know that. Filling yourself with your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, that you won't be operating in your senses, you won't be operating in your feeling, You won't be operating in what other people are saying. You operate in your most holy faith in the aspect of the holiness of God. And then the mystery is also about praying in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 14:2. I'll turn to that one. 1 Corinthians 14:2. Very important. Scriptures known and scriptures applied are two different things, right? So memory and meditation is two different things. And then memory, meditation, then manifestation. That then the scripture is really working. See, the scripture is not working if you just know the scripture, if you don't have the manifestation to prove that you're operating in that scripture. You're just operating in a memorization. So important. That's why meditation is so important. We see Psalm 1. We see Joshua 1:8. Talk about how important meditation make things happen and make things function in the spirit realm. But here, we're dealing with the mysteries in 1 Corinthians 14:2. But he that speaketh in unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. But no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So those holiness and mysteries has been the carrier of my weakness and my infirmities, my inadequacies and my inabilities. Holiness and sometimes you're quickened by God. Just a statement, God. Just a statement. He said, "If you're not in my illness, your ministry is not in my illness. It being illness, I-L-L-N-E, like sick, with no power, no glory." When I was talking to you earlier, just those little things. I'll never forget that. See, just those little things. The Spirit will whisper in your ear. All right. So now, holiness and the mysteries is two things that if we're gonna promote God's agenda at all times, and we're going to put our ministry in supernatural rest. You're going to have to be praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself on your most holy faith, and then praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking not unto men, but unto God, how be in the Spirit, speaking mystery. All right? Now, keeping the stronghold pulled down in your soul, that is very important. Matter of fact, it's important to know, let's turn in. It's important to know that those strongholds are dealing with your soul. That's important to know that. The strongholds are dealing with your soul. And Paul points out, though we walk, 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, but the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, if you don't know what those strongholds are built and how they are built, and you think you're all spiritual and thinking all spiritual, no, they are built in your soul. Strongholds cannot be built in your spirit. Strongholds cannot be built in your senses or your body without the permission of your soul. So you pull those strongholds down, keeping the stronghold pulled down in your soul. It goes on to say, for the weapon of our warfare, not come, but might to God to put down strongholds, verse 4, casting down imagination. So you're pulling down, you're casting down imagination, you're casting down higher things, exalting yourself against not God. And then the third part, that fifth verse, and you're bringing, see, you're not only pulling down, but now you're bringing, and bringing into captivity, at the end of verse 5, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then you can go to verse 6. So you're not ready. You're not ready to revenge the things that the enemy is trying to bring to you. Verse 6 says, and having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So one of the ways the enemy stops us from fulfilling our obedience, not that we don't want to fulfill it, is he builds a stronghold in our soul, and we are fighting to get our spirit straight. But the contrariness is back to Romans 12:1-3 now. 1-3. The contrariness, the conformity, you conform, a Christian conforms to their soul. A Christian is transformed to manifest to operate, to function in their ministry, in their life, in their earth realm, they have to have a strong soul. They have to, protect their soul. They have to renew their mind, that they may prove that good, see, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, you know, you talk about operating in faith. Yes, we operate in faith. Operate in the Spirit. Yes, we operate in the Spirit. But that soul must be attended to, because it is a, the soul is an and, A-N-D. It's a conjunction. It connects us with the Spirit of God, our spirit, the Holy Spirit, and then our soul and body in this world that God can make manifestation through us has to be attended to by us. They have to go back to being sanctified. Now I'm almost through. I got a big clock right on me. Got 9 minutes. Actually putting on the whole arm of God, doing by meditation. The Lord revealed that to me when I was praying for you all this morning. He said, you got to meditate the armor. I said, wow. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might, and tell you who you're wrestling against, and tell you the different armors. Righteousness, breastplate of righteousness, and the helmet of salvation. Teach charity, the purpose of the gospel, peace. Then he get down to faith and say, above all, taking the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I wonder where those fiery darts are shot at. They're shot at your soul. And if you get your soul, you got the body. And I think we need to start out thinking that way, because I think for a large time, the enemy has been robbing us. We've been praying in the Spirit, and we've been reading the Scriptures, but also that Romans 12, 1 through 3, 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24, you cannot forget it. Then there's Philippians 2, I think, 12 and 13, where God is waiting for you to do his will and his good pleasure. He talked about working out your own salvation. Those things connect. Just like Galatians 2:20 and 21 connect, because it talks about being crucified with Christ. Then it talks about there's a grace there that you must constantly walk in. All right? So actually putting on the whole armor of God now, and I never heard it this way, doing by meditation. In other words, don't just read it and then quote it. Paul said each part of the armor, recognize that it's spiritual, and then recognize this, my sons and daughters, recognize this, that the armor of God is to protect the whole man. It's not just a spiritual armor. It's protecting your soul, and it's there to protect your body also. So it's very important. And then it says, always prevailing by and pressing in resurrection power. Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. It talks about the power of the resurrection. It talks about Paul said, forget things, something you got to forget. But then he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But it's that resurrection power that we must emphasize for keeping our soul clean, for being ready to move in another dimension and another realm at any time. That resurrection power that lives on the inside of us must be, every time we walk up to the pulpit, every time we minister to somebody, we must make sure we know that the finished work of Christ, John 19:30, that finished work is there. The finished work of Christ. Now, I have 1, 2, 3, 4 scriptures. I got 5 minutes. I want to give them to you. Acts 2:22. Very important. And this scripture is so important here. I want to read it to you. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, and watch what he said, among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. That's one word that that is flowing in my spirit now is not the word puff, but it's the word proof. It's a lot of puffing going on. But in ministry, you need proof. Jesus wasn't puffing somebody, I'm huffing and puffing, blow your house down. No, he said proof. And that's what LTMA, that's what we got to do, pastors and all you ministers on the line. We have to put ourselves in the presence of God in such a way that our ministry has so much proof that when somebody try to come against and say things, people look at him and say, you must be out of your mind. Proof. See, Jesus had proof. Let me read that again. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. Now, here's how you prove. Among you by miracles. Jesus. And wonders. Jesus. And signs. What's God. Now, watch this. Watch. What God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. See, God did it through Jesus. So our ministry has to be positioning that God can do it through us. Turn to John 5. John 5, 20. Now, whether you're getting it or not, I'm doing my job. See, because I'm yielding to the Holy Ghost as much as I can. So I don't, you know, if you don't think it's spiritual, you think that's up to you. But I'm just telling you, I have proof in my ministry, not just material proof. I have spiritual proof. I have proof in my family. I have proof that God give proof. You got to have some proof. You can't be just talking about, I'm a pastor on this. You got to have some proof that is not known. Now, notice this verse here in John 5, 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. What? For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. There's not a show off here. There's not a bragging here. But there, people should marvel about your ministry. When you're promoting God's agenda, what? At all times, and you're putting your ministry in a supernatural rest, the illness of God, the amness of Christ, wow. I mean, you can't. So, yeah, he said in 5:20, he showed him all things that himself doeth. For the Father loveth the Son. Now, let me give you a great word about this John 5:20. He's not just talking about Jesus. You see, we are placed in Jesus' place on earth to finish carrying out his ministry under the same condition, under the same power, under the same God, under the same kingdom. We have to think that we'll stand in the pulpit when we minister and when we study. And then I want you to write John 14, 9 to 14, because he's talking about me and my Father is one, and it's the Father that is doing the work through me. Then I want you to write down Hebrews 2, 1 through 4, and I want to close with John 14, 6. Knowing your I am position, by knowing the threefold I amness of Jesus, is available to you at all times and in every situation. Now, I know you've been looking at this scripture for years. Let me read that to you again. Knowing your I am position, by knowing the threefold I amness of Jesus, is available to you at all times and in every situation. Jesus said to him, I am, number one, the way, the truth, and the life. That threefold I amness, I bless your life with it this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, every person listening to me, may they have greater success in ministry than I had, than Paul had. May you touch every man, every woman on this line, every ministry on this line with the three I amness. They walk from this impartation knowing that they know the way, they know the truth, and they have the life to carry out the ministry that you've called them for. We give you all the glory and all the praise for this morning. I bless if anything that anyone under the sound of my voice, as a son or daughter, need, May you impart it to them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, I want to remind you of a couple of important dates that we'll be having this month. Number one, on September 10th and 11th, we'll be having a Money Coming to You conference, a virtual Money Coming to You conference. We were supposed to be in Richmond, Virginia at Mount Gilead this month, but because of the pandemic and because of the various governor's orders, we're going to do it virtually. It'll be September 10th and 11th. Then also, as of now, Prosperity Revival, which is November the 2nd through the 6th, which is a first-tier meeting, it will be virtual as of now. It's still virtual. If that changes, I'll be sure to let you know. But as of now, Prosperity Revival will be virtual. So even during that week, we will celebrate Mom Thompson and Matriarch Day. We will do that virtually.